You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Cataraqui on Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee land.
Of it.
All right, well, let's play it for a little bit. Welcome, everybody.
Now let's talk. Turn it down. It's a cover for sure. Who's singing that?
A band called FM.
I don't know that band.
No, you don't. But like I said, let me start with this. Welcome, everybody. It's 30 Years of Nonsense. It's Terry.
And Sherry.
And we're here live on Thursday for you.
Yeah, it's Thursday at 4 o'clock, and we are where we're supposed to be, so we can check the box for today.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is definitely a cover. Like I said, I'm starting to move into some of the different covers. This is a band called FM, and I think it's a pretty good cover. Let me bring it up for a second here. They just literally smash up the actual chorus.
It sounds like something else.
It's just how they're playing it.
No, but it does sound like a different song. I had to actually listen to them say Life is a Highway. It sounded like I was expecting some other lyric, which I won't attempt at this moment because we're trying to focus on this.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different. That's for sure.
All right. Well, how are you today?
It's been a day.
Okay. There, most of them are days. Today's better than yesterday. We both had extremely long and difficult days yesterday.
Yeah.
You went to Toronto and I had some nonsense I had to deal with. And so we're both exhausted. But today went better. Today was much smoother.
Today did go better.
I was everywhere I was supposed to be and I did all the work I was supposed to do. And so that makes Sherry happy.
Well, that's good. I will say that unfortunately I had to cancel trivia for tonight. We made the decision earlier in the week to move it from Friday because of the baseball game tomorrow night.
Yeah, no one's coming to trivia. We're all going to be home, including us, watching the baseball game.
Well, it's not even being home. People will be out. They'll be at bars and stuff, but they're not going to want to play trivia. They're going to want to pay attention to the game.
Yep.
It's been, you know, over 30 years since the Jays have been in the World Series. This is a big thing.
Well, here's a funny thing, though. 1993, we were together. This was like the first summer that we were, maybe the second summer we were together because...
No, first.
Okay, well, our daughter was born in 94. No, we got married at the end of 94. Our daughter was born in 95. Must have been the first summer that we were together. I do have specific memories of going downtown Toronto with our friends, Sherry and Rob, when they were in the pennant race, I guess it's called.
Nope.
And we went bananas because it was super fun. So we've been together as long as the Jays have not won the World Series.
Well, they won it in 93. So it's been, like I said, it's been 90 or 33 years. So.
Yeah, well, that's how long we've been hanging out beside each other.
It's crazy.
That is crazy. So what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about baseball songs.
That makes sense.
Right. So I figured this is a great time. We've got some great baseball songs. There's some great, there were so many to choose from. So folks, I just put a smattering of different stuff. For me, the most famous baseball song of all is by John Fogerty. It's called Centerfield.
Yes.
And I've been playing that for years. I actually am playing a version live from Dodger Stadium. So when he did it from Dodger Stadium. And of course, who are we playing? The Dodgers.
Okay.
So
well, that was very clever.
It was very clever. Yeah. So I thought it'd be fun to play that version of it. I couldn't find one live from the Rogers Center because
I can't call it the Rogers Center anyways.
I know.
I'm still calling it the Sky Dome.
Yeah.
If I really go back, I'm still calling it Exhibition Place.
Yeah, Exhibition Place for sure.
But we'll get there.
Yeah. But anyway, so literally I was going through all these different songs and I've got a whole bunch, and it's basically all our Blue Jays songs, except one that we're going to play right at the end.
Which I didn't really try not to cry when I saw that. I thought, why are you doing that to me on the air?
Well, because it's going to end off our night.
No, I get it. However, do you want to talk about some of the fun facts about this song, or do you want to play the song first?
Well, let's play the song, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about some fun facts. But here we go. Little John Fogerty to kick things off, Centerfield.
Thank you. some time with the Mudville Nine. Watching it from the bend, you know I took my lumps when the mighty case struck out. Don't say, hey, Willie, tell the cow, Joe DiMaggio. Don't say it ain't Joe, you know the timing now. Low puppy and post, I'm ready to play today. Puppy and post, I'm ready to play today. Look at me.
Wild.
That was a great song to start
with. That is a great song to start with. So here's the question. And it was a question we heard yesterday. Karen and I were driving to the city and we heard this question. Bride's getting married on Saturday and she's in Calgary. Now she's a couple hours behind us. So the game starts at 8. It'll only be 6 o'clock their time. So the wedding, you know, when dinner and all that stuff's taking place.
Right in the middle of dinner.
Right in the middle of dinner. The bride's question was, we've had a ton of requests from guests saying they would really like TVs or screens in the room where the event's happening so they can watch the game as it continues. And most of the relatives, including the groom, from Toronto. What do you say?
I know what I want to say, and given we have a wedding this year, I would not be delighted if people wanted to be distracted by a sports event when my daughter's getting married once in a lifetime. But I'm also not a crazy sports fan, and I understand that people will be distracted and would probably just be looking at their phones anyways. So I don't know that I came to a conclusion on how I feel about it. I don't like it, and maybe if it was Game 7 of the World Series, but not Game 2 of
this series. Well, it's Game 2, right?
Yeah, so it's Game 2, not 7.
On Saturday. But here, think about it this way. So I had a bride and groom a couple of years ago. Leafs were in the playoffs, early rounds. They knew guests wanted to watch the game, so they decided they would put screens in the dancing area so people wouldn't leave. So they stayed. So they did that, and we changed the groom's and bride's entrance to Hockey Night in Canada theme, and they both wore opposing jerseys over their outfits into the hall just to kind of bring it on. And I thought it was really good.
Our bride's not going to agree with that.
No, I know that.
There's nothing covering that dress.
I know that. But I'm just saying, like, obviously they were sports fans. They got it. It was good. Now, I can tell you, on Wednesday when I played in Toronto, the game was on at 8 o'clock. I had been playing since about 5:30, 6 o'clock. No, even a little bit early. 5 o'clock, doesn't matter. I've been playing from 5 o'clock on, playing some music. And at 8 o'clock, we switched over from the background screens that were up there to putting the game on. Now, it didn't go live with volume, but you could watch the game while in the dance right? Mm-hmm. So there was two 40-foot screens behind me. It was crazy. So 20 high and then 40 across, whatever. These were massive screens. Now, I only played for an hour at that point. So I played from 8 to 9 with the game on in the background. Then at 9 o'clock, I stopped playing and we put the music or the actual game live so people could watch the rest of the game. What do you think of that?
I think that's fine for a corporate event if that's what everybody wants. But if that is my daughter's once-in-a-lifetime wedding that I have paid for, I'm not happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
It's just me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just thinking, even in the background, I think in a couple of screens in the room, it's not going to harm anything.
Unfortunately, it's not happening for our wedding.
No, I get that, but there's football.
We're going to know who wins the World Series well before our daughter's wedding, so this is fictitious.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that. I get that, for sure. So let's talk about center field, because it's a pretty wild song. It was the first song for baseball inducted into the Hall of Fame, the
right.
Baseball Hall of Fame.
Pretty cool.
So it was the first song ever inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I think that's wild.
Well, the other interesting fact is it's technically not really about baseball. So this was John Fogerty's comeback album after he left CCR, and it basically symbolizes him getting back to the game, and I'm using air quotes for the game being music. But he was looking for a nice analogy, and he actually loved baseball when he was a child, and he always wanted to be put in. So he imagined himself asking the coach to put him back in the game.
Yeah.
And now as an adult, the game was music. So technically, it's not even really about baseball. It's about getting back in the game for whatever your passion is.
Yeah, it could be any game. But I mean, he refers to being in center field, put me in coach in the center field, which could be on stage.
It could be anything, right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a great analogy for sure. I mean, he even had a guitar shaped like a baseball bat. And when he performs this song live, he actually uses this Louisville Slugger shaped guitar for when he performs center field, which is kind of cool as well. So I don't know. I think it's neat. That song is performed all over North America for opening day, in between innings. I mean, it's an iconic song that everybody can sing along to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to ask you a question, going back to some of our nonsense.
Yeah.
I was born and raised into a baseball fan family. Like some of my memories, a lot of my memories of my grandfather were all of them. Actually, he had a baseball Blue Jay hat on and a coat and was watching the TV, whether we were at family functions or not, and jumping every time that there was a play in the game. So I was well raised in a baseball family, and I was born in Canada. Was baseball such a big deal in Ireland?
No. Not at all. Now, I can't say that for now because we have NFL over there. There's hockey, like the NHL, or I guess it's the World League or whatever it is. The European League is there. So you've got a ton of players that are playing hockey over there, and they're superstar famous over there as well. But we didn't have a baseball league. I mean, I know Japan had one. Mm-hmm. I played baseball as a kid when came to Canada.
There's a picture of you in a little T-ball uniform. Was that from Canada or from Ireland?
Oh, no, that's Canada. No, that's Canada.
Oh, you look very young in that picture.
I am very young. Still very young. But that picture is, for me, probably about 10 or 11 years old.
Okay.
In Canada, playing baseball in Ajax.
But you must have just been introduced to it.
I was.
Then as a cultural thing you do as an 11-year-old boy.
Yeah, it's more of a, I would say it's more of a North American thing. I mean, there was cricket, which is completely different. You've got hurling.
What was that song we were just recently listening to where he wanted to play for the county, and you told me that meant more in Ireland?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's Gaelic football.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Irish football.
So, I guess... little boys' dreams there are to play county.
Yeah, to play. Yeah, so to play for their county or for. So in Ireland, doesn't matter where you live, it's where you grew up is where you play for. So I may live in a different town, but I have to play for the original town I'm from.
Really?
And then, yeah, so you would play for them and then you would move up and you would play for the county or the area. So it's kind of like Durham Region,
right.
Or, you know, that or. The like, Corth is,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Like you make like your community, your city, I don't know, your region, your province, whatever,
yep.
And so on and so forth.
So it's basically town, county, and then country.
Okay, but so. Not baseball.
No,
not
no.
Baseball in the 70s when you
no,
were growing
not
up.
Not when
in
I
Ireland.
Was there. No.
Okay.
They were throwing stuff. It wasn't.
It wasn't baseballs. Okay, well, let's go back and play the next song, and then we'll come back and talk about, I actually would like to know when the Jays were formed, because I feel like I was around before there were Blue Jays. It was a newer team,
yeah.
And by newer, I mean the last 58 years. So let's play OK Blue Jays, and then we'll come back and talk about that.
Okay.
You got a diamond, you got nine men, you got a hat and a bat, and that's not all. You got the bleachers, got them from spring till fall. You got a dog and a drink and an umpire's call. What do you want? Let's play ball. Is that a fly ball or is it a seagull coming in from the lake just to catch the game? It's the last inning, our guys are winning. Dave's put down a smoker, a strike, and you got no doubt. What do you want? Let's play ball. It's a beautiful evening, fans, at the ballpark, and the game starts. Warm summer breezes, sun's going down, and it's all dark at the ballpark. That's okay, it's a night game. Sox, bring on the Bo Sox, bring on the Brewers, the Rangers, and the Yankees, too. We'll beat the Indians, we'll beat the Tigers, we'll beat the A's so bad, gonna make Billy blue. What do you want? Let's play ball.
And that's a home run.
All right. Well, I was right. The Blue Jays were formed in 1977.
Yeah. So they got their franchise in 76. The first game was April 7th, 1977. I wasn't even in the country.
Well, I was. And I do remember it being a big deal that we were going to have a Major League Baseball game. I'm sure I was watching the news with my parents as a kid, and it was on the news every night. And it was a big deal. So I also remember before there was a Sky Dome, they were playing at Exhibition Stadium.
I loved Exhibition Stadium.
Yeah,
because you could
too.
Get cheap tickets. I mean, if you were Richie Rich, you could go sit out in the, you know, along the first base behind home plate or along third base, but they had that outfield. It was like $5 tickets.
Yeah. Well, back to my grandparents, because that's a lot of my memories, but my grandparents weren't people of excessive money or anything like that, but they could afford to go to the cheap seats and see every Jays game, and it's what they did. They went and sat way up in the nosebleed bleachers, but they went to every single game as long as I can remember them being physically able to, and they could sit up there and in those steel seats.
Terrible. But think back, right? So,
and yeah, they were $5.
I used to go to every home opener game from when I was allowed to. So I was probably about 13 or 14 years old.
I bet you did it before you were allowed to.
Oh, no. Maybe.
Your mom might be listening.
She might be listening. I'll still get in trouble. But anyway, I went to every home opener game. And if you recall, I took both our kids before they were 1 year old to a home opening game.
Yeah.
So they both went to the home opening game in their first year of life.
Yeah, they were in like a baby carrier.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So just a couple of fun facts about the song, OK Blue Jays. It was actually written and sang by Toronto performers, which is pretty cool.
The Bat Boys. And I played the Bat Boys version. There's a multitude of versions. So it was written by a guy named Jack Lenz and Tony
Kosinek? Something like that.
And it became the official Blue Jays song and has been ever since. And it's played during the seventh inning stretch of every game.
Yeah, when the Blue Jay comes out and he does his thing.
Yeah, he does his thing. He does the little wave and he does the, you know, it's great. I love it.
Yes.
So, but it's a really great great, great song for me. I love it. And then they did get a remix of it, though. In 1993, there was a remix of this song made for the World Series.
Okay.
I didn't play that version. This is
everybody likes the nostalgic.
Well, this is the iconic version, and you even hear the old team names that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's amazing.
I like when they redo things that you have sentimental value to. There's a lot of Christmas songs actually that I don't like the remake of them. I like the original, like Bing Crosby voice in a Christmas song, not somebody else's voice in a Christmas song. So I think that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But we're baseball people to the point where, so I am not a sporty kind of girl, and I played baseball. I didn't play it well, but I did play baseball for a couple of seasons, a couple of summers when I was a kid, and it was a fun activity. It is one of the sports that if we watch it, I do understand what's going on. So I'm still trying to figure out football because it makes no sense to me that all they're trying to do is carry a ball a couple of lines forward or backwards. And it seems, I don't know, a little redundant and it takes way too long. But I do understand and appreciate baseball. And I have no interest in hockey whatsoever. Never have. Don't think I ever will. Thankfully, we never introduced our son to hockey.
No.
It was just not our sport. So I am Canadian baseball through and through, but not the other sports.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. Do we want to play our next song?
Yes, we do.
And it's called Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Okay, this is awesome. I have a fun fact about this one after, which is pretty fun, so go ahead.
Okay, all right. I mean, this is just going to be a baseball-themed show today, folks, so I hope you're listening to a little and loving a little bit of baseball because we're getting ready for tomorrow night. I'm super excited. I'm not sure which jersey I'm going to wear. I've got a couple. I might wear the night jersey because I think that's what's going to be the hit in my house. We'll see. All right.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I don't care if we never get back.
Let me root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame.
So it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Nellie Kelly loved baseball games. Knew the players, knew all their names. You could see her there every day. Shout hooray when they play. Her boyfriend by the name of Joe said to Coney Isle, dear, let's go. Then Nellie started to fret and pout, and to him I heard her shout.
Take me out to the ball game.
Oh, we'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, take me out to the crowd.
We'll yell loud.
And then buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I don't care if we never get back.
Let me root, root, root for the home team.
You're out at the old ball game. You wouldn't
take
like
me
it.
Up where I can shout with the crowd real loud.
How'd that explain everything?
Buy me soda, pop a peanut, some buy Cracker Jack.
That had of course
me. I don't ever ever care if I never get
That's
back.
Different. We'll root, root, root for the home
team. For the home team, if they don't win, it's a shame.
For it's one, two, yeah!
This is Cleo, and I hope you folks will join me Tuesdays at 5 for my new show, All Tunes. From punk rock to folk, we got it all. Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM. See you Tuesday.
I love all the different shows on our station.
Yeah, it's great.
It's pretty neat. So, let's talk about the facts about this song. Take Me Out to the Ball Game. This one really threw me for a loop.
Right. So this was written in 1908, and it was written by a man named Jack Norworth and Albert Von Tisler, neither of which had ever been to a baseball game. They were inspired by a poster on the New York subway advertising a ball game. But the interesting part is it's not actually about baseball. It's about a baseball fan. And the full song is actually about a woman named Katie Casey who loved baseball. And she tells her boyfriend she'd rather go to the ballpark than go to the theater, which was very unrefined in 1908 for women to be interested in sports and rather to go to the ballpark than the theater.
So, and her boyfriend was Joe, clearly, because that's who they refer to in the show, in the song, Joe.
Okay. Well, it was a huge vaudeville hit, and it continues to, it's been alive now for 115 years, and is considered one of America's most recognizable songs.
Yeah, they put it up there with Take Me Out to the Ball Game is awesome, ranked with Happy Birthday and the Star Spangled Banner.
Wow.
By how many people know that song.
Wow.
It's incredible, right? So you'll hear it in movie classics. It was in the movie The Sandlot with the kids, right? Take Me Out to the Ball Game, a movie, and it's a musical from 1949, starring Gene Kelly and Frank Sinatra, and even the Peanuts cartoons with Charlie Brown has well. So there's all sorts of different versions of this song. Again, I tried to play one that was just an old-timey kind of feel to it, right? So
So that takes my brain to, and I don't know why I'm having a brain cramp on this. What's the baseball stadium called in Boston? With the green wall.
Oh, with the green mile?
Wrigley Field? No.
Yeah.
What is it?
Wrigley Field? No, Wrigley Field's Chicago.
One in Boston. I don't know. It's lost my mind. But the point of the point of me saying that is I absolutely love that place. And I can't remember the name of it at the moment. But it is phenomenal because they have this old cobblestone.
Fenway Park.
Fenway, thank you.
Yeah. Ricky Fenway.
That's right. It's a family joke. They have this old-time place where there's like food trucks and everything, and you can go up and down this cobblestone area and get any kind of food truck that you possibly want. So I could get like a lobster on a roll, and you can get a jumbo giant hot dog or sausage that makes you happy. And they have like one of those old time circus tent kind of places where I can then get ice cream and peanuts.
Yeah, I love Fenway Park.
I love Fenway.
And the tour, if you're ever going to Fenway Park, guys, the tour and then the extended tour is really worth that little bit of extra money where you get to go behind where the announcers sit. Where all the sports writers sit. And it's such a tight area that you're literally sitting on top of each other. It's so wild just to have been there and then see a game there and know that there's 30 people stuffed into this really tight little space to go up that everybody could actually see what was going on. You're literally sitting over top of the next person.
Yeah, it was fun.
Wild.
So you've suggested, and we haven't agreed yet, but you have suggested one of our activities in our retirement years be that we tour North America in a motorhome of some sort and go to a baseball game at every diamond.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be a motorhome. We could just take a nice, really, a car and drive around and stay at different places. But I would like to go to a stadium, a different ball game in a different stadium every week till we hit all the stadiums.
It would be a very cool thing to do.
Yeah. Our friend Jake is doing, he does different stadiums. I think he does two or three a year.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get them all in. He got a bunch in before they closed and changed, which is kind of cool. So we're going to miss out on some of those iconic ones.
Okay.
Willing to go.
I'm not 100% sure that that's going to be our activity in retirement, but it is interesting and I'm interested in thinking about it.
Oh, I think
I'm also
wonderful.
Interested in exploring every cruise ship. So
yeah, I mean,
it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Listen. I think it'd be a lot of fun. So this next song that we're going to play, it's called My Oh My, and it's by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. And it's an homage to a longtime radio announcer for the Seattle Mariners. Now, we just played against the Seattle Mariners, so I thought it was really nice to put this on. So the guy's name was David Nias, and he was the announcer from 1977 until he died in 2010.
Good for him.
Yeah. And this is the
doing what you love.
And his signature call was My Oh My. And that's what inspired this song to be written. So Macklemore actually grew up in Seattle and was a huge baseball fan and loved to hear this guy's voice. So when I play this, I'm going to get you to, you'll hear everything about it as it goes along. So it's a
you
really.
You want me to listen?
I do. I want you to listen to this. I want our fans to listen to this as well. And,
Not our fans.
Our listeners. I was looking at the word fans when I said it. So I want our listeners to hear this as well. But I think it's a wonderful song, and he used to listen to this song or listen to the game with his dad. So
okay, cool.
As he was growing up. So
I will listen.
Here
I
we
promise.
Go. A little Macklemore.
Dad in the garage, the sawdust, that pine saw in the moss. Around every spring, when the winter thaw, we'd huddle around the radio, twist the broken knob. 7:10 a.m., no KJR. Dave Lee House's voice would echo throughout the yard. Couldn't have been older than 10, but to me and my friends, the voice on the other end might as well have been God's. 1995, the division series, Eggers at the bat, bottom of the 11th inning. Got the whole town listening, swung on and belted. The words distorted, Joey Core rounds third. Here comes Griffey, the throw to the plate, not in time. My oh my, the Mariners win it. Yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome. We had just made history.
Yes, one on the line, that left field line for Ovation. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior at third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My
Lace and woven, barely holding that stitch. Creases of time amongst the grime and the grit. Weathered leather, used to pound his fist. To some it's just a mitt, but see that glow is him. Yep, tell me stories on the field with that sun-stained rim. Blood under my chin, he taught me how to spit. Sunflower seeds back with me and my crew. Sunburnt arms, big league chew. Yeah, we were like the sandlot after dinner. After practice, we listened to the M's in the kitchen. And if mine wasn't tripping, come on, Dad. Please, I swear, this one more inning. Voice would pump, pump through the system. Break out the rye bread. It's grand salami time, my oh my. Another victory, yes. My city, childhood, my life. Watching Griffey right under those lights. That light rain beaming in that night game. Can't stop now, keep moving, no break pads. Came here to prove a point, live my life on the field, make history in between the base pad, and compete against the fear that is in me. That's my only barrier, and I swear that I'ma break that. From the mud, the cleats that we drug through the feet, this is that moment and you cannot take it back. And I don't really collect cards anymore, just a box and some old cardboard. Memories embedded in the dust, and the fibers that age just like us, living somewhere off in a drawer. This is what you make of it. Yeah, we play to win, live it like we're under the lights of the stadium. Fight until the day that God decides to wave us in. Right until he waves us in. It's my city, childhood, my life. That's right, under those lights. My city, childhood. That's right, me house, my oh my. Come on, my city, childhood, my life. That's right, under those lights. It's my city, childhood, my life, me house, my oh my. Rest in peace.
What'd you think of that?
I liked it. It was very Macklemore.
Yeah, but it was different from anything else he's really ever done. So Thrift Shop, like, it's very upbeat. This is really emotional. It's really deep. I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever heard it before. I do remember Macklemore songs when our kids were growing up, but I don't remember ever hearing this one. And it was nice.
So he says it paints a picture, as a metaphor for hope, community, and memories that will never fade. That's what Macklemore quotes this song as being.
About baseball?
No, this song.
Oh, okay.
And baseball, kind of just together, right? So this is a team that has never won or been to the World Series, right? So again, we shut them down. So it sounds terrible, but I wanted to play this because in my opinion, I think this is a wonderful baseball song. So he performed My Oh My at Safeco Stadium, which is now T-Mobile Park, on opening day on 2011, just months after the passing of the announcer, Nias.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Instantly became an emotional hit for the fans, and there was tons of tears. This is now being played at all Mariners games, so it'd be interesting to see. I've got to go back. I didn't even think about it. It's in highlight reels, and it holds a special place for the Seattle's identity, bringing sports, music, and local history together. So Macklemore performed it at the unveiling of Nias's statue at the ballpark in 2011 as well. So that's really cool. And the outro, like the song, actually features a clip from Dave Nias calling the grand salami time. So that's the word he used to say in place of grand slams. Okay. He would call them grand salamis. So I don't know. I think it's a really great song. It's nice that the Mariners have their own thing. We all have their own songs. This one was really nice,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit today about what I saw. So for sure, I'm going to come straight up and say that I'm a bandwagoner. And I watch the Jays throughout the season, but I watch it mostly because it's on the TV in our house and not because I would run home to watch the Blue Jays game. But mm-hmm. I do enjoy it. And like I said, it's a game that I understand and I can appreciate. Like, oh, good, look at that guy. He's on strike two, or there's a ball or something like that. But I actually did pay attention to the game the other night because it was such an important game, obviously.
Huge game.
And I know that we're very excited about the fact that we won and everything, but what because I'm just an observer of things like that, was like, I don't like, as you know, and I've said before, I hate all the negativity and the divisiveness in the world. And I loved something that brought everyone together. It didn't matter who you were, if you were a Blue Jays fan, it didn't matter anything, your politics, your race, your religion, yep, your anything. Everybody was just focused on one fun thing for a time, and it was so exciting and uniting. And I have looked at and seen on replay a million times now George Springer's face. George, right?
George Springer's
okay,
face.
Good for me. Yeah. Look at that.
The Springer dinger, it's referred to as.
George Springer's face when he hit that.
When he was dancing.
When he was dancing between bases.
When he hit the two-run homer.
Yes.
To put them ahead.
And, like, that is sheer joy.
Oh, he was
literal sheer joy.
Yeah.
And that is beautiful to me. And yeah, I wish we could capture that and bottle it and put that in a vaccine for the world or something.
Yeah.
Because that is just absolute beautiful. And I am, like, happy for that guy. And then I always go to, like, I wonder who his mother is. Like, if that was my kid, I'd be busting at the seams at this moment. So whoever his mother is must just be exploding with pride. But I love seeing that sheer joy on people's faces. And then even when, like, Vladdy was crying and, like, half the team was crying. And then I later saw photos of Vladdy as a child on the field with his dad.
Yeah.
Because his dad was a player back in the day.
Yeah, he played for the Expos.
Right, and he's a little boy on the field.
He grew up in Montreal around baseball. Like this, it has been, it's amazing. So some players you're going to find that, you know, they're legacies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, their parents played or whatever, but Vladdy being so close to Toronto, his dad was a Montreal Expo.
Yeah, it was beautiful. There's so many beautiful stories. I also love that the coach, I'm going to call him, but the coach was like so excited. He couldn't help himself from swearing.
Oh, yeah.
And
he
should swear. It was effing awesome.
Yeah,
so he should
lost
be able
it.
To say
I mean,
that,
it
which
was
is fantastic.
So it's funny. He swore twice, and then I guess the radio or the TV station realized there's going to be a lot more swearing coming on. So they put on a PA.
A disclaimer
saying, hey, there might be, you know, some coarse language. We apologize, whatever. Yeah. I'm like, a little late, buddy.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I love that. The other thing, and I know you guys make fun of me, but like, I don't believe in war. I don't believe in violence by any means. And I've always said that if there needed to be a war, then we should basically just have like a baseball game and whoever wins gets, I don't know, the land or the rights or whatever they were fighting about.
Yep.
And so I maintain that. I think we should settle world disputes through sports. And this is a perfect example of how it can unite people and nobody has to die.
Yeah, okay.
The world according to Sherry.
Yeah, no worries. All right,
what do you have next?
Batter Up. And this is a Nelly song. And again, Batter Up was the final single on his breakout album in 2000. The album was called Country Grammar. You're going to hear this song. You're going to remember it. The track features Murphy Lee and Saint Lunatics.
I don't know. Play it for me.
Yeah. You're giving me that face. So let me play this and then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about this one. It's a great song.
And now.
Something now you think twice about it.
So what'd you think?
I like that.
Do you know the song?
I don't think so, but I was getting into it. First of all, I like Nelly's voice. And second of all, there was some, like, the Jefferson song and things like that that you're like, ah, I can do this. I'm moving on up.
Yeah, absolutely. So the song, again, it references baseball with a, you know, swing, batter, batter, swing. However, the song is really not about baseball. Again, it's just a metaphor for becoming a better person, stepping up in life. He says, you know, and he used the song or the Jeffersons in the song. That's why you hear them moving on up in the chorus and stuff, just because he wanted to give the track a fun, nostalgic vibe as well. But it was really about being, you know, stepping up and becoming a much better person and stepping into that success. He released a music video on this one in 2001. He even created a fictional stadium for it. It was called Free City Field, and it's a nod to his hometown of St. Louis. He played this song, or this song became very popular, and it is now the anthem, the unofficial anthem of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Wow, cool.
So much again like the St. Louis Mariners, Seattle Mariners have their one with Macklemore. Mm-hmm. These guys have theirs with him.
Well,
so
we have Draken for Toronto, but that's for
baseball.
That's for basketball.
Yeah,
right?
It is. So, this is great. This song, or this album that this song was on, So Country Grammar, sold over 10 million copies, make it one of the best selling hip hop albums of the
2000s. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right.
You want to talk about our weekends?
Yeah, mine is much different than what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
So,
well, we're eating sushi tonight, so that's exciting.
We are. That's great.
We like sushi.
I love sushi. But no trivia tonight. No trivia tomorrow night. Going to be watching the baseball game. I do have my show from midnight to 2 a.m.
Yes.
Into the Darkness. I'm going to throw in a couple of hip hop songs and baseball songs mixed in tomorrow night because of it. So you should hear some, and they can have explicit lyrics after midnight. So you might hear the odd swear word in mine. I played all radio mixes for us today, so I didn't get in trouble.
After midnight.
Yeah, they did. So that's that. And then Saturday, I am privileged and honored. I get to go hang out in the press box with Jesse, who is the commentator for our Gales, our football team. So they're in the playoffs. They're playing the GGs this weekend. So I'm going to go hang out with him and watch how he does his thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I listened to the show last week, his show, and it was fantastic. And I'm like, man, I got to get in there.
So you learn from Jesse.
I got to learn from Jesse on the commentating for football games and stuff. It was great. Or just anything. He's fantastic. So this was awesome. I'm really glad. So that takes me through Saturday. Going to watch the game, obviously, Saturday night, and then Sunday's a busy day. So Sunday morning, I got to go do some work stuff first thing in the morning. Then I'm off to church with you. Then I'm doing some hurling. Then there's a meeting about hurling after. And then we're going to Darius Rucker.
Yes, because your very sweet wife didn't even ask you.
No, I know.
Said, hey, I did a thing, which I knew you would never say no to, but I'm like, how about date night in Ottawa to see Darius Rucker on Sunday?
I am pumped.
I know. I knew you weren't going to say no. Some people actually have to ask their spouses if they want to do something or whatnot, and I'm like, no, I have to rein my back. He's never literally said no to anything.
No, never.
So we're going to see Darius Rucker.
Yeah, we are. I'm so pumped.
Which we want to play a little Darius, but let me just do a quick rewind because there's a couple things I want to highlight.
Yeah, you talk about your weekend because it's busy too.
Well, most of it is with you, except for Saturday. We're going in different directions. So Saturday, I am delighted to share with everyone that I am the host and the MC of the AWIC conference, which is taking place at St. Lawrence College on Saturday. Not cottage, college on Saturday. And I know you're going to say, what's AWIC?
I know what it is.
Well, I know, but our listeners don't.
I know.
It is all women's entrepreneur community. So it's all women entrepreneurs, obviously. This is their very first conference that they're holding, and I'm very excited and honored to have been asked to be the host and MC. It is running from 9:30 to 4:30, so all day of Sherry talking. I apologize already to everyone who's going to listen to me all day. There is a vendor market where you're going to get to meet all of the great entrepreneurs and see what they make and what they sell and how their businesses run, which is great. And then there is a spectacular lineup of speakers who are going to be doing a keynote as well as a panel, as well as a number of different presentations. And then also AWIC has run this year a pitch contest. And so there is basically, think about like a Dragon's Den kind of thing. And the finalists of the pitch contest are doing their last 5-minute pitch on Saturday afternoon. I'm the timer of their 5 minutes they get to speak. And then they find out who wins. And so I'm very excited to see that. That's very interesting. And I love like seeing people grow a business. We've been watching Shark Tank our entire lives, and we've grown and developed a couple of our own businesses and helped our kids do that. And so it's really exciting. I am so excited for Lev, who is the woman who is the creator of this. And this was her vision, just kind of a little dream a couple of years ago. And now it's happening this Saturday at St. Lawrence College. There's still lots of available room. If anybody's interested, please come in and see us and come and spend some time with all the great, amazing women entrepreneurs from our community that are going to be there on Saturday, including me.
Well, it's funny that you said pitch and it's all about baseball.
Oh, I didn't do that on purpose, but but it's clever.
Yeah, it was. So I was like, well, when people come up, you should be playing Batter Up as they walk up, or some type of song about pitching.
We should, but it's not that technically complicated. Yeah. And I just have to worry about getting through the agenda.
You were like, and they're doing a pitch, and I was going to go Batter Up, but I didn't. I thought I would wait to the end so you could finish your pitch.
Okay.
About it.
So yes, I told them I'd give them some free advertising and mention it on the radio, and
absolutely,
I want to make sure that we get lots of people there. It's going to be an incredible day.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. So we're going to skip over a song by Gord Bamford. It's called Baseball Glove, and basically, unfortunately, we're running out of time, as we always do. And we're going to switch right over to a song called The Cheap Seats by Alabama. And again, obviously about baseball. Baseball Glove was basically, the Gord Bamford song was basically, everybody wanted something. His sister wanted something. His brother wanted all this stuff. Everybody wanted everything for Christmas. He just wanted a baseball glove.
Yeah.
He just wanted something simple. He said, if I can't have everything, I just want one thing, and that one thing is a baseball glove.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, but we're going to switch right on for that. And so if you guys ever want to hear that song, just go look it up. Baseball Glove, Gord Bamford. It's a nice song. We're going to switch over here, and we're going to do a little Alabama, The Cheap Seats.
Ooh, all right. Let's hear it.
All right.
This town ain't big, this town ain't small, it's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's triple A. We sit below the Marlboro Man, above the Rockville Wall. We do the wave all by ourselves. Hey, a blind man could have made that call. We like our beer flat as candy. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats. The game was close, we'll call it a win. Go off to toast the boys again. That local band is back in town. They got a kind of minor league sound. They're not that bad, they're not that good, but all in all is understood. We wanna dance, they wanna play. We wouldn't have it any other way. We like our beer flat as candy. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell. Like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats. Cheap seats. Now the major's called up, oh, what's his name? And one more building rises tall. And suddenly we're all grown up, and this old town's not quite so small. But I'll always miss the middle-sized town in the middle of the Middle West.
with no name pitchers, local bands, and mustard and relish and all the rest. We like our beer fat as can be. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing.
Did you know that when a car hits a turtle, their shell can crack?
Turtles need to get from one side of the road to the other to find food, mate, lay eggs without getting hit by a car.
It is a problem because a turtle can get seriously injured.
Slow down if you see a turtle on the road, and if it is safe, move the turtle across the road carefully.
This message was brought to you by the students of Linklater Public School Grade 4 class and Sandy Hines Wildlife Center.
Hello and welcome to the corridor here.
No, it went right
not
into
yet.
No.
We're not playing
we're
the
not,
corridor yet.
No.
You got three more minutes to talk.
I do. And we've got our extra song we got to do. I don't know what happened there. So, the cheap seats. It's obviously about minor league ball, and the band Alabama released this song in 1994. It was on one of their last really big albums that they've done really and it actually peaked at number 13 on the country Billboard charts. So it did really well. The song is...
excuse me.
The song has become really popular in the minor leagues, obviously, mm-hmm. because it's all about the minor leagues, and it's actually played at a bunch of minor league stadiums throughout the U.S.
Well, now I want a hot dog, though.
Yeah, I know. I love that they like their beer flat, and they love their hot dogs with just mustard and relish. I'm a ketchup, mustard, relish, mayo, onions, and bacon bits kind of guy. But I will take it any way I can get it, I'll be honest. And then they basically, they made a music video about it as well. So they actually use Engel Stadium in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is the hometown. The team is called the Chattanooga Lookouts. They're our minor league team. And it basically shows fans and players and these guys out on the pitch or the stadium ground playing baseball and having fun and singing. So I thought it was a great song. I don't know about you. What'd you think?
I liked it. It was fun. I was bopping along, and I'm actually happy that we are running out of time so we can't play our last song.
Yeah, no, we're going to kick it right over, and we're going to play our extra song that we've been doing now for a little bit.
Sure.
So we started it last week. We're going to do it this week. I played a really weird version of it, I got to be honest. So Route 66 is how we're going to finish our nights, and so I hope you enjoy this. You'll get about a minute of it, and then...
You'll get the corridor.
Then you will get the corridor. So guys, enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Have a great time. Enjoy yourselves at the baseball tomorrow and Saturday night, but come and join us at our event. So like I said, I'm going to be hanging out at the football, so watching the Gales play. So I'm sure there's tickets available, and come and hang out with us there. And if you're not into that and you want to go...
If you're a woman entrepreneur, go come and see me at St. Lawrence College.
Yeah, and go to AWEC.
Yes.
All right.
And go Jays go.
Yeah.
Ogden Square.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way.